Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Football Podcast show number 177. I've got a fact this week and Jim's on the phone.
Oh no, he's a rude prick.
I know, but bless him, we love him. Anyway, before I do go into the fact, I'm here, Andy's here, Chris is here, Dan's here and Jim's on the phone to Stuart Hall.
Who does he think he is? I know. He's sitting there like Gordon Gecko on his portal.
Gordon Gecko.
On his portal, he's walking away now to do some business. Buy, sell, shop, stock, shares. He's left his diary.
Little black book.
Yeah.
Anyway,
it's
like a file of facts.
Yeah. This is not interesting in one little bit.
Can I just ask, does anyone remember those file of facts you used to get in the 90s with like puzzles and stuff? You had like a spy one and a foot one. They were brilliant.
Amazing.
Bring them back. Anyway, you were going to say something, Dan.
No.
You kind of at the start of the show, you went, and then you didn't get to say it. I feel bad.
I mean, no.
I want to hear your fact, Coxon. What have you got?
Well, I'm going to say it before Jim gets here, just to annoy me even more. But did you know it's show number 177?
I do know that.
Second most cap player of all time, Claudio Suarez, won 177 caps for Mexico.
Oh. Quite an easy fact to get.
177?
Is he a goalkeeper?
No, he's a defender. Second most cap player ever behind Hossam, the Egyptian lad. Although there is a Malaysian who played 252 times, but a lot of those were unofficial.
Yeah.
How old was he when he got his last cap?
Well, I'll tell you in a second because I'll be able to work it out. He made his debut in 1992, played until 2006, went to the World Cup in 94, 98 and 2006, although he didn't play at the latter tournament.
You can't tell us because you don't know when he was born.
I do because he retired age 41 in 2009, ergo probably about 37, 38 when he retired from international football.
Look at that.
You can't say that. He could have retired at 40.
He retired at 41 in 2009. I looked it up.
Yeah.
He was 41 when he retired, so therefore, when he played his last cap in 2006, he had to be either 37 or 38.
Retired from international football at 41?
No, he retired from all football at 41 in 2009, playing for Chivas USA.
Yeah, but then
I've done my research!
Couldn't he have then been retired at 41 from international and club at the same time?
No, he retired from international football in 2006.
Oh, OK.
So that was when he played his last cap.
Case closed.
He won three CONCACAF Gold Cups and the Confederations Cup in 1999.
Quite what a man! Yeah. Quite a like him.
He now lives in South California with his wife and three kids.
Lovely.
There you go. You've missed the fact.
Can we not
Claudio
go over
Suarez.
That again?
We're not going to go over it again. But basically, he's the second most cap player ever. Mexican defender. No, strange, because he was playing in the modern era as well.
Yeah. Back
but
on
there
his
you go.
He's not interested.
Are you playing for Mexico?
No,
we're just going over the facts.
Come on.
No!
It's not fair for the listeners!
Did you mention him?
He ended his career for Chivas USA and he also played for
UNAL. Why are we doing it again?
This is taking over. This is meant to be a quick bit at the start of the show. Mexicans.
World Cup!
None of those teams.
You've not had a Chivas USA? Yeah, World Cup. Well, no, domestic football first.
Yeah, surely the league's just ended.
Thank fuck for that.
Yeah.
Congratulations to Manchester City, deserved winners, I think we can agree.
Yeah, definitely.
Commiserations to Liverpool, who equally had the money would have been deserved.
Yeah.
See that little clip from that someone just put up of Ryan Giggs at the press conference after the whole game? Did anyone see it? And he's just sitting down ready for the press conference and he says, you couldn't turn that, pointing to the TV screen of Sky Sports News on, he goes, you couldn't turn that off, could you? Flipping it, like obviously, that looks genuinely fucked off.
Yeah, it's obviously City celebrating.
He got one of them. He went, don't want to look this way, do you?
Awesome.
You could see how pissed off he was.
Yeah,
as just a United fan.
Yeah, well, fair enough. He wants to be there winning it. I don't think you can take away from City. I'm sure you. I certainly haven't watched any of the celebrations.
So, are you in the UEFA League?
No.
No.
Well,
interesting. We're talking about this at half time when United were 1-0 down and Tottenham were, I think, 1-0 up at half time.
3-0 up at half time.
3-0 up at half time, was it? When it was announced at St Mary's, all the United fans cheered.
Yeah, I bet the Spurs fans were probably booing as well.
And
I'd rather not have the Europa League next year, but I hope that, I basically hope that the new manager does what Redknapp did and just played the kids in Europe.
Yeah.
I desire if he does just play the
and
kids.
Then you get to the stage when, but Redknapp used to play the kids, and then he'd get to the latter stages, and then he'd start involving the other members of the team.
Well, that makes sense.
But that's not him. No, it doesn't, because then it's not fair on the team that got him there.
Yeah, but it doesn't mean
this has always happened.
It doesn't make sense. It makes sense because it means you're likely to win the tournament if you play better players.
You're right, it might not be fair on the other players, but it makes total sense in the sense that don't worry about it. Let the kids play the group games. Then we get the chance of
this
maybe
is going to happen on
it.
Saturday with Chesney for Arsenal.
Yeah,
he's not going to play, is he?
Well, I'd not
no, they reckon. I know. I think Fabianski's going to play.
Why not? I think that he should. I mean, Fabianski's been in goal for a lot of the game, but he's the better keeper.
You've had a few similar ones. Thomas Sorensen at Stoke the other year. He played all the way up to the final and therefore got a start ahead.
Yeah, Wenger's famously always used the League Cup to blood the youngsters, and I think that it's when you get to the semi-final or the final, why not play your best team? You're in that.
One thing I'll say on the Europa League, I've said this before on the show. I would have liked to get in there simply to try and protect our seedings if we get back into the Champions League.
It's true.
So if you,
but it makes our job.
If you finish in the top four next season,
finish next year.
What seeding would you have?
Well, what's the point of even speculating?
They're not going to win.
It's ha ha ha. The coefficients is based on the last 5 years, so the likelihood is, because United have had three strong years in Europe in that time, plus one where we went out in the group stage and went out of the Europa League at the last 16, and a season where we'll miss out, so we'll probably end up being second seed, which isn't too bad, but that's when you end up getting Barcelona or Real Madrid.
See, Gary Neville's reaction when they did the half-hour special on the...
they loved that, didn't they?
What's it called? Premier League review. And what's his chops? I can't remember the journal who hosts it. Said, what positives do you think United can take?
Didn't have one, did he?
No, he said one, but there was a pause, and he just had this blank expression for five seconds. Yeah, and he went, Jan's eye?
No, I think De Gea's the positive for you lot.
No, but he had a good season last season anyway. Yeah. But no, I'd say signing Mata. Was definitely a positive.
And Rooney contract.
And David Moyes going.
Yeah.
The kit was quite nice this season as well.
It was. Better improvement on the last season's the gingham.
What were the prawn sandwiches like?
Oh, I don't know. As if I get to games enough to sample the sandwiches. Come on. But you can find positive in any season, but there's so many negatives. It don't worth thinking about, really.
Ferdinand's announced he's leaving.
I would expect Patrice Evra, unfortunately, to follow him, because there's an interesting article on the Mirror website comparing him to Shaw and Baines, and he pretty much has matched up to them this season, albeit in different categories. He's been a lot better defensively than either of those.
Where do you reckon he'll go? He doesn't want to retire.
He'll go abroad. What, Ferdinand?
Yeah.
I think he'll go for a payday abroad.
America?
Unless someone
romantically,
like
go to West Ham?
I can't see him dropping down. I could see him going to Tottenham.
I'll see him go to West Ham.
I'm not sure I could see him at West Ham.
They're paying Andy Carroll the money. They pay Ferdinand.
He's well past it.
And he wants to keep his profile.
I don't know about that. I disagree with that. I wouldn't
sign
say
him
past
for a season.
He could definitely go to the US or something.
I could see him go to the US because he'll make a shitload of money.
You wouldn't want to spend loads of money or pay him loads of money for a bit par player, because he wouldn't be able to play every week.
Right, so if you're West Ham and you do have a chance of bringing someone like Rio Ferdinand in, compare him with who else you might be able to bring in as a centre-back.
Young defender.
I'd
bring a young talent. I wouldn't bring an old man that couldn't really play.
Bearing in mind Ferdinand's canal, he struggles with more than two games every 10 days.
Fantastic influence on the squad, though. You know, bring a lot to train. I wouldn't see it as a negative thing for someone like West Ham. I think he'd probably do all right.
I'm sure
I think
he could
the fees
do
and the money
there.
Outweighs that, definitely.
Yeah, I think the cons outweigh the pros. Yeah.
And you've got to remember, if he goes to America, he'll be one of, if not the most high-profile player in the league, with the exception of probably Henri.
JD.
And he was still doing a really, really, really good job.
More high profile than Defoe. Defoe's a better player at the moment because he's younger, he's still got the abilities. But
what about Landon? Landon Donovan's massive.
Well, in America, and what Ferdinand will get is he'll get right to the top of all the boot sponsorship stuff that they do over there. He'll get right to the top of all the
advertising. Sort out his new clothing range.
Exactly.
Yeah. Wanker. All right, that's enough on Rio.
Sick of him anyway. Playoffs. We'll go on to the World Cup because it is the big.
Yeah, because there was nothing really else to talk about in the Premier League, wasn't it? We knew everything else that was happening.
Norwich were down.
So manager of the season went to. I was surprised.
Well, Rodgers won the LMA one, Pulis won the Premier League one.
So they shared it. All right, well, that's fair enough.
One thing on that subject, there's been a lot of stuff about who could win manager of the year, and there's been five or six names bandied around. One that hasn't, who I think is a bit hard done on, not manager of the year, but Mark Hughes at Stoke. The Stoke fans were up in arms when he got appointed last summer.
They did very well.
Tearing up seasons. True. They finished, it's the highest they've finished, higher than they finished under Pulis.
And they played more attractive football than they used to.
They played football.
Yeah.
Everyone took the
although still, was it still played the most long balls? Or was that
West Ham under Allardyce. Also, and a bit hard done by not to get mentioned as well, is Martinez. Martinez, outstanding.
Martinez has had a few.
Outstanding.
He's done a brilliant job there. I think he's...
It's good to see
The problem is they've done what Everton have done regularly and dropped away at the end of the season just when they could be pushing. But
if they had got top,
they had a big chance.
If they had got top four slot, I think it would be different.
It's going to be a big job for them to build on it next season, though, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
The lone players they had this season as well.
Yeah. Championship, playoffs, bit shit from my point of view. Obviously, hometown.
Brighton got dispatched, didn't they?
Brighton. I mean, apart from the little consolation goal, but apart from before scoring that, it meant that. I mean, either way, it meant they'd in four playoff games in 2 years, they'd have scored. They'd scored one goal. Obviously, they'd now scored. They'd scored, you know, two. But
and
that's not good enough.
Has he gone or is
resigned straight away?
And that's the worrying thing, isn't it? Because Poyet did the same thing, and he just said
no. Poyet got booted.
Yeah. But for taking a shit in the dressing room, allegedly.
But he was sure also saying that he didn't see himself being able to take the club any further than where he got them to.
Yeah.
Which is worrying for Brighton in that.
No, but there was more to it than that as well. It's like he was not happy about. He's thinking about going back to abroad again. He wasn't really settled.
He's been linked with the Celta Vigo job.
Yeah, I think it's a bit more. I know what you mean, Anne. I think there is. Surely that doesn't really make any sense with a bit of investment, and there's loads of places you can take that Brighton team.
Is that the point though? Is there no chance of proper investment?
I think there is. I think there is. It's they've put a lot of money into the club.
I think the problem you're always going to have with Brighton, it's not. Obviously, as a fan base, it's not really a football town out and out. It's a big, very interesting, multicultural, multi-diverse city. But from my experience,
I know a lot of, but obviously from being Brighton, I know a lot of hardcore Albion fans.
I thought you were going to say
not something that takes over the city. I've never experienced being in Brighton and it's been Brighton fever.
Yeah, but because they haven't had a fucking stadium since the goals.
Maybe so, but if you look at somewhere, that certainly hasn't
years, helped. Mate. Years and years and years they went without a stadium.
I still think the stadium they've got, as beautiful as it is, and it's great. They've got a home.
The fact they're not having a stadium got to
do because it's hard to build a fan base
when you can only get 4,000 people to watch a game.
They were only at Priestfield for one season.
Yeah, but they were at other places, weren't they?
When you can only. Yeah, when you
about
can only
five
take
5 minutes from Brighton.
No, found
where
they are now.
Where they are now. They were at the
Withdean.
The old Athletics, the Withdean, which wasn't properly set up as a football stadium.
What's that got to do? The town
can only take a few people to watch the game. You couldn't even have a decent amount of people go and watch the game.
What are you talking? You're talking gibberish. It didn't sell out.
No, it's.
What do you mean?
The point being made.
The Withdean was not sold out every week when Brighton played there.
Yeah, but
so what's that got to do with? Oh, it's hard to get
because they went to.
What's the ground got to do?
Glad that you've come into this halfway.
No, I'm just saying, what's the ground got to do? Getting behind a city.
Well, I think when you don't have a permanent home, when there's because there was a lot of upheaval at Brighton as a club for many years. I think the point that Dan's trying to get to is that it makes it harder to build.
You're saying
that
as well.
Hang on a minute.
There's no stability.
Ask Coventry fans if they've got behind the team at Northampton this season.
Yeah, well, they got behind him away from home.
Yeah.
Club don't make money out of away games, does it?
They don't want the club to make money because they're protesting against what the owners have done, haven't they?
Yeah.
Well, you're never going to have a football stadium if you can't make money, are you?
Well, they don't want Northampton to be long term. If they started all going to Northampton and Northampton was sold out every week, the owners might keep them there because they'll think, we're making money on the back.
Coventry fans want a home for their football ground.
Yeah, well, they want.
For their football club, sorry.
Coventry fans want Highfield Road. They've been singing about Highfield Road ever since they left.
And that's anyway, the whole thing about Brighton is they do have the infrastructure there, so.
It's just whether or not they can take it to that next level eventually.
Yeah. If they can hold on to the players they've got who've got them there and build on the squad, then they've got a chance.
Massively missed Mikal Smith all season.
Yeah.
Losing what's his face to Sunderland as well was a big part.
Move on off of that one.
Centre midfielder.
I can't remember name, but they've also Brigcut, and they brought in players on loan like Jesse Lingard and
who's done well for them.
Wayne Bridge has retired as well, who by all accounts had a very good season there.
Wayne Bridge
still going.
Matthew Upton in the first leg was an absolute joke of a player.
Did you see that tackle?
He snapped him in half.
And the thing is, the tackle was there to be made. It was there to be made, but
about
it was
5 minutes
about
before.
5 minutes before, it was the ball was there, and he just fucked.
Do you want to know the scary thing? The last player to score for England in the World Cup was Matthew Upton.
Was it?
Yeah, against Germany.
Germany. He scored all 2002.
It would have been Frank Lampard if that had been.
Was that attributed to Upson?
The header was, yeah. It was an Upson header, yeah.
Right, okay, sorry.
But, kind of his face, I think.
But yeah, right, so Derby QPR, you were at QPR the other night, Jim.
Yep.
Yeah, good night, good turnout.
Yep. Second half was good.
I thought it was you actually made it to the ground as well for the game.
Yeah, I didn't make the second half, though.
You were aware, sorry.
Right, you didn't make it to the
QPR.
Wigan.
Oh, right.
Interestingly. Oh, wait,
not the nil. No, not the nil-nil.
No, a great turnaround by QPR. Great turnaround.
That was a decent game. The first leg was fucking
game.
Atrocious, but that was actually a decent game.
Did you see how them?
I'm gutted for who they was today. However, it's going to be interesting for Brentford to pit their wits against their old manager next season in the Championship. So, every cloud.
What do you reckon, Derby or QPR?
I just really hope Derby go up. I don't want QPR to go up. Well, and that means we get to play QPR and Fulham in the same season.
I think the QPR are going to struggle without Bobby Zamora, because did you see him and Scott Carson?
No, what
when
happened?
Charlie Austin scored the penalty to make it 1-1.
He's not injured, though, is he?
No, he's not.
I know,
no.
Well, when he went to get the ball.
He went to get the ball, yeah. And Scott Carson belted
him. Tell you what, he made a difference when he came on, old Zamora. He really made a difference.
He set out the winner, didn't he?
Yeah.
It's a cliche, but he'll do his job for you.
No, he will. I think it'll be...
And he laid off the ball to the old Blackburn guy to get the penalty as well, I think.
Yeah, Junior Hoyler. Yeah, he did. No, it made a big difference.
I mean, Derby
were fantastic against Brighton, but like, they have got some serious attack going forward. Mm. They break quickly, they got pace on the wings.
It's a nice young English squad as well, and as much as I don't like McLaren, I'd prefer to see Derby go up, because I'd like to actually see that team stay together.
He doesn't have to do a job at club level, McLaren.
He did do very well at Forest, but outside of that, he did great
He basically destroyed the Dutch league, didn't he, with 20?
Yeah. Although his way, he went back there and did terribly.
I'd like him to do another interview in English Dutch, but anyway, it'll never happen, will it? Yeah, he's a massive twat.
He was sat there drinking a coffee. Do you remember, he was in the stands watching the game, the Brighton game.
Legs crossed. Yeah,
legs crossed with a coffee.
And he's like, the European.
You just don't really see any managers sat there sitting back with a coffee watching. Yeah. This is a Champions League.
Did he have an umbrella as well?
No, it wasn't raining. No. But he just doesn't really look like he's just not a proper
coffee
manager.
He made a joke about that, actually. He said when he goes, because it'll be the first time he's managed at Wembley since that night against Croatia, he said he won't be taking his umbrella with him.
No, I bet
fair enough to him for joking.
That absolute joker in goal.
I hope he gets fucking soaked. Anyway.
But
it'd be nice for Derby to hold on to players like Will Hughes and actually see them make a go. Moneybags, QPR. No one likes QPR.
I like QPR. I'll be at the final supporting QPR.
The only thing I'll say is QPR, for me, QPR probably stand more of a chance of surviving than Derby do. Not that Derby won't,
they'll spend a load of money, wouldn't they?
Although, I don't even think they need to spend that much with the squad they've got. You'd hope they've got enough.
Really? I looked at that squad and I was like,
but they've got experience.
I think it could do a lot better job in the Premier League than
a lot of past it players he's got there. I mean,
yeah, but then again, you say past
Danny Simpson's not a bad fullback.
Danny Simpson's a good player. Joey Barton's still a good central midfielder, but he's always going to miss five or six.
I can't see any of their strikers cutting the mustard unless they hold on to Lloyd Brennan.
Charlie Austin
scored goals
in the Premiership.
He scored at every other level. He came through non-league at Paul Town.
I'd like to see him
play at Swindon, made his name there. He scored goals in the Championship now for Burnley and
Premiership. You've got to mention.
Type of striker that just scores goals.
You've got to mention Burnley, haven't we? We've got to mention Burnley, like what they've done this year. It's fucking incredible.
Yeah.
It was a Spurs blog going up, and they were like, sod all these big name bring in Sean Dyche.
Sounds like a wrestler.
He looks
a bit like Stone Cold Steve Austin as well,
doesn't he? He's got a look of it, yeah. But Stone Cold Charlie Austin, as we used to know him on the show, and when we called him that, he stopped scoring goals, so we won't mention that name.
Let's not do that.
For his sake, ahead of the playoff final.
If he
doesn't score in the playoff final, that's the reason.
Yeah.
Right.
But lower down, you'll be very happy, Andy. Leighton Orient in the final.
I'm pleased it got to the final, just so that, you know, I think they'll win in the final against Preston, because Preston are just a large physical team. But I genuinely think that they'll struggle against Rotherham. Yeah. Rotherham have played some really good football, and they remind me of Yeovil last season, who were very, very, very dangerous going forward and can score goals.
And Russell Slade was joint manager of the year in League One with Kenny Jackett, which I think
I think what a prick.
I think maybe it's a bit harsh on Brentford, but then you've had two managers and
Warburton did brilliant.
Leighton Orient's wage budget puts them about 20th in the league.
They were I'm sorry, if Russell, all Russell say does is moan about his wage budget, fuck him. Anyway,
yeah,
there you go. It's a cock.
And lower down,
very good manager. Same as Evans. He's an absolute fucking moron, but he's a very good manager. I don't think Slade is a bad manager or a cock rather.
Stapes, who scored that fucking wonder goal?
Your mum for Preston.
Garner. Fuck me! What, like that was? That was
two great touches.
That would have lit up the World Cup stage. That was an unbelievable strike.
Yeah, if you see Messi or someone scored out of the World Cup, it's going to be classed as the best goal.
One of the best goals at the World Cup. It was fucking unbelievable, brilliant.
Absolute classic.
League Two. I know Fleetwood beat York in the first leg and
first ever game to be postponed.
It
was raining on Friday night, I think it was. So they played it. Had to play it on Monday. So night as
groundsman.
Who won in the other first leg?
It's 1-0, Southend 1-0 down, aren't they? And that's the second leg's on Saturday.
Yeah. I really hope Fleetwood come up.
It'd be quite a story for them because it's a tiny place.
Oh, Fleetwood or Burton, even.
Yeah. Really? I'd love to see Southend go up.
Gillingham have got a good relationship with Burton. I'm sure if you've spoken before about celebrating.
Yeah. The landlord of the pub wrote in to the local paper about us just to say how nice we were.
He's got to be the only one, hasn't
Fuck
he?
Fucking hell.
But anyway...
World Cup.
Yeah, the big one this week. World Cup squad announced. Only real surprise, Ashley Cole.
I'd say Lampard's a bit of a surprise.
Yeah.
Well, because I was going to say, who would... Are there any changes from it? And the only change I could conceivably see would be taking Lampard out and putting a more defensive midfielder, a Barry or a Carrick,
I thought it was maybe a toss up between like Wilshere or Carrick.
All the central midfielders we've got play on the front foot. Yeah. We haven't got anyone who,
Henderson
drives forward. Henderson is not a defensive midfielder.
Carrick's a big, Carrick for me.
Huddleston.
I think Lampard.
Huddleston's
not a defensive player. He can't tackle for shit.
But he can tick possession over.
I'd take Huddleston over Carrick anyway.
You're not taking somebody to beat David Batty.
But, no, but what do you
you're
mean?
Taking them to keep possession. Well,
that's the holding the ball is definitely
a holding midfielder.
Right. I think Lampard's really lucky that Man United had a terrible season because otherwise Carrick or Cleverley would have been on the plane.
Yeah.
Did he have the least minutes out of Premier League minutes out of all England squad players?
Fact on it. So United have had a terrible season, but if you look, all the squads have been named at least provisionally.
Yeah. Jones and Smalling are both in there, aren't they?
Jones and Smalling are both in there. For now,
it's got to be there. That's all it is.
Roy Keane ripped into them.
Like we said, that the Ashley Cole was the big decision that he had to make, really, possibly the Lampard. But apart from that, he didn't really have any really big decisions to make.
No.
I think it would have been interesting.
Carroll and Lambert, maybe. But
yeah.
I think
if Walker and Townsend had been fit, then we might have had a bit more of an interesting decision to make. Because
Townsend's an interesting
because
Walker as well.
Walker would have been in the squad.
Walcott
definitely would have been in. I think Walker and Townsend were both maybe.
See, I don't think Walker was ever going to go because I don't think Hodgson was ever going to take two specialist right backs. If you look at every England squad in the past.
But he's played nearly all of the games under Hodgson.
Oh, no, he's been on the bench, he's been in the squads, but it's the biggest squad.
No, Walker had started most games.
Yeah, but Glenn Johnson's been injured for a lot of those games.
Whenever Glenn Johnson's been fit, he's played.
Actually, the other one, Jay Rodriguez as well, he would have posed a big old question as well.
So I think he hasn't really had to make too many difficult choices, Hodgson. I think the squad's fairly picked itself.
I think we all agree as well that the dilemma over who you which left back you leave at home, it's not going to be what makes or breaks a successful tournament for the England team. You know, as good as Ashley Cole is, as good as Shaw and Baines are, it's not going to be the deciding factor on how well we play.
The point Hodgson made was if Leighton Baines gets injured during the tournament, that will be the big thing. And he's actually said then it might prove a mistake to not take Ashley Cole.
Well, then why would you take Shaw if you're not confident in playing him? That makes sense.
Because he said the exact opposite in his press conference. He I said, I'm not taking anyone for the experience. I think that every single one of those players I've picked can do it.
So, I thought it was a good press conference, by the way.
It was a fantastic
press conference. Yeah, it was really, really good, really positive.
Did you see it?
Really strong. Yeah, yeah. I thought it was very good. Yeah,
I thought he's hedging his bets, though. I mean, Johnson will be fit.
Thoughts on Hodgson, how he handled the media after his squad?
I've not seen
it. No, he did really well, Stokes. He did really, really well.
Going back to the point I was making, though, so all the squads have been named, at least in a provisional sense, up to 30 people. Of the clubs that have the most teams, Bayern Munich have got the most with 16. Unbelievably second.
Oh, in the World Cup in general?
In the World Cup in general, so across all nations. Unbelievably in second, Manchester United with 14. And that's not
players like Nani and players like that,
Carrick and Cleverley on Samba as well. Barcelona, Juve and Napoli have got 13. Chelsea, City and Real Madrid have got 12 and Liverpool have got 11.
And Arsenal would have a few
Arsenal
as well.
Arsenal have got 10.
Yeah. I thought it was quite odd, well anyway, that Jermaine Defoe has come out and said that it's probably the most... his lowest point in his career, having been overlooked for the team.
Yeah, but he knew what was going to happen. He knew what was going to happen.
I read somewhere that he's going to be on, I think, for
he's on
Fox
standby.
Lane,
yeah. It's between him and Cleverley if Oxlade Chamberlain's out, depending on what
Hodgson goes
for. Defoe's
on standby, is he?
Defoe, Carroll, Cleverley, Carrick, Stones.
Just go and not play again.
Flanagan and
I just
Ruddy.
Thought it was just a bit weird that he's said this is the lowest point of his career
what
being
do you
overlooked.
Expect, though? Sure, I mean, you're not playing in the top
but
flight.
But he said it's not like I've been there for 4 years. I've been there for 2 months, and he knows what I can do, and I've been doing it for however long. Though.
But he's also been injured for a lot of that.
Yeah,
that's what I mean. I'm saying
I don't quite understand why. Like,
showing a lack of ambition, isn't he? Defoe in his move.
If you were that bothered about it, wait until the season is over.
I think he's a class goal scorer.
He's different to any other forward that we've got. As well.
Agreed.
I'd take him. Do you think?
Yeah, but the thing is that he's never been chucked on with 20 minutes to go. There's always been someone else.
He's
chucked
not
on
a versatile player either. With his tournament, you've got to take some options unless you're truly world class.
I never got that.
He isn't truly world class. The one thing I will say,
world class finisher.
He's a world-class finisher, but he doesn't offer much elsewhere. What I will say is I would have thought 2006 would be more disappointed for him
when he was
left out for World Cup.
Yeah.
But then I suppose in 2006 he thought, I've got more World Cups to come. And he did. In 2010 he did an all right job as England went. We were terrible.
He got us through the group.
He got a goal against Slovenia.
Actually,
yeah.
Scored a couple of goals in that.
He scored the one at the World Cup.
Yeah, from a yard out. Yeah.
It was quite a decent volley. He caught on the end of it. He stuck his foot out.
It was a good volley.
It wasn't powerful or anything. But looking at other squads as well.
Can we talk about France quickly?
We can, because you're friends with a girl called Inara, aren't you, Dan?
Well, no, friends in a loose term. I've known her since we were kids. She was best mates with my stepsister. But I've mentioned her a few times. And she almost broke Twitter last night, which I found very
amusing.
This one
goes out with Nasri?
She's been going out with Sammy Nasri for a while. And so obviously he's obviously got a phone call. Nasri's obviously then told her, and I think it's before the squad was actually announced.
Well, Sammy Nasri said at the weekend something like, "I expect I'll be watching it on the TV."
Yeah, because he's had a fallout with Deschamps. Deschamps doesn't rate him, something along those lines.
Deschamps said that he was going to be around a squad of players for a month, and he's not going to take anyone he doesn't like.
He said he was picking a squad, not the best players.
Yeah. So she's tweeted.
That's exactly what France need to do.
She tweeted last night. Fuck France and fuck Deschamps. What a shit manager. And then 4 minutes later, tweeted again. In case you didn't read my tweet properly, I'll repeat myself. Fuck France in capital letters and fuck Deschamps. Now, as you can probably imagine, this didn't go down too well with the French people in general.
Yeah.
And absolutely caused an absolute shitstorm. She then obviously tried to backtrack by saying, everyone is so fast at assuming I actually meant fuck the France national team, but please continue, French people, with some applauding and some crying and some laughing shit. But she's still going this morning. She's still going this morning. She hasn't left it. She's put... So, some geezers put, basically, disrespecting France as a country. She's put, what was the topic of conversation in my tweet? A country or football team? It's unbelievable how thick people can be. I'm like,
so this is just the shit like, side of Twitter. You're getting involved.
Fucking, like,
model.
Just shut
idiot,
up, Inara.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She was never the brightest.
Well, you know, what do you expect?
But she's
amazing that Nasri isn't playing the World Cup,
been left out.
But he should be there.
Cliche has an Eric Abidal as well, albeit he's been used.
Cliche and Nasri being left out, but smiles more.
You can understand Abidal.
Sylvain Distan's retired as well, hasn't he?
Sylvain Distan has retired. He announced on Twitter after a grand total of zero caps for France. He's announced it. Brilliant.
Oh, really?
fair play.
He never, yeah,
never, for France. Never played for France. He come out and said, "I'm going to retire from international football. I want to focus on my club career." Yeah, fair play.
That's good of you.
Like, was that even being reported on?
Oh, he's been reported. No, but obviously everyone knows he's being tongue in cheek.
Yeah, right. Don't think Andy did. So.
Yeah, I didn't apart from Andy Frank.
He's got no caps.
Yeah. Talking of
focus on his club
old players in squads, though. Or not in squads in Distas case. Farid Mondragon, Colombian goalkeeper. Have you ever heard of him?
No.
You might know him. He was the goalkeeper in...
Does he look like Mondragon?
He does look like Mondragon. Yeah, he used to play for Galatasaray. No, that's what it, how it's spelled. But David Beckham scored a free kick against him in the 98 World Cup.
Right.
When we played Colombia. He was the second choice goalkeeper for Colombia at the 94 World Cup.
Bloody
and he's
hell.
In the squad for the 2014 World Cup. He's 42.
He's got to be one of the oldest, hasn't
he? He's the oldest there. The second oldest player is Colombian defender Mario Yepes, a legend from Championship Managers. Formerly, he's always going to be Yepes to me because I used to sign him on Championship Manager. he used to play for Milan and River Plate. They've got a couple of 33-year-olds there as well, Colombia. They've got quite an old squad.
And they've got Falcao in there.
They've got Falcao in there. No word on whether he's fully fit yet. But Mondragon, had Colombia qualified, he would be setting a record of a sixth consecutive World Cup. But they didn't qualify in 2002, 6 or 10.
Who's that one that used to play for Munich? He's Iranian. He's been left out.
Karimi.
He's about 35, 36. He's Karimi, been left out as well.
One of Iran's greatest ever players. He's been left out.
And also other strikers. I think Torres isn't going to get the North for Spain.
He's in the provisional,
but they reckon he'll be dropped in favour of Llorente.
Which is a fair... I think how many goals he scored for
Italy? Isco is unbelievable.
And
Arbeloa.
Yeah.
Arbeloa's getting on a bit, yes.
He was always just a pick of a bad bunch of right backs.
Lucas Moura for me.
Tevez.
And Tevez.
Fucking Tevez.
Yeah, but apparently there's been quite a lot of stuff about that, about his ego and about falling out with the manager and about not being on. But he hasn't played well this season, has he, for Juve?
Exactly.
He's hardly scored.
And neither has Torres, so why should they go to the World
No, you're right, absolutely. But Lucas Moura has had a fantastic season for PSG, and that's another really weird one for me.
Well, he's on standby for them, as is Lucas later. Philippe Coutinho left out. Rubinho, Ronaldinho, but then
Kaka.
You start to
and then they're getting on a bit now, aren't they? I mean, come on, you've got
Kaka's had a very good season.
And you start
Ronaldinho had a great season for who is it? Gremio or whoever he's playing for.
He's playing for, I think
it's Gremio.
Yeah. You start saying all these, but then you realise what a strong pool of talent Brazil have. So they're leaving all these players out. But you look at their strikers with Fred, who scored a load of goals.
Fred!
Fred
and Joe.
But Paulinho's in the squad.
Yeah.
Over Moura.
Fred and Joe.
Yes, but Paulinho and Moura play different roles.
Coutinho game.
Not really.
Coutinho didn't get in.
But they've got the likes of Bernard, who's done very well.
Bernard, Joe and Fred.
Yeah, they've got...
Sounds like a fucking Frank Bentos illing.
And there's a Wilfred or a Wilson.
Wallace.
Who was the other one?
North Yorkshire.
Mario Gomez.
Speaking of Brazil, old Philippe's in a bit of trouble, isn't he?
Yeah,
potentially.
Facing a few years inside.
Yeah.
I thought he'd been roped into the BBC investigation.
No.
About
£6 million quid's worth they reckon he's avoided tax on when he was a Portugal coach. So he could be, and this,
I'm sure he'll find a way around it. But I put on
not a good
preparation. Social media this morning on the World Cup, I put to people, if you could take a player, and I'm going to ask all you guys, Jim's already answered helpfully. If you could take a player, I said from a previous tournament, Jim's gone a bit off piece. To put in the England squad or your international squad now, who would you? So, say it could be theoretically someone like Bobby Moore, or it could be, say, Wayne Rooney in 2004. But yeah, right. Jim, who did you go for?
I don't know.
You went for Steve Guppy.
Oh, you didn't take Carlton Palmer.
And the fact that he's one cap from 99 hasn't been followed up as a scandal. I mean,
for me, if you look at the England team, we probably need a centre back. So, I'd probably
This is exactly what I was going to say, Steve.
Campbell of. Yeah. 98 or 2002, to be fair.
Yeah, both.
This is what I mean. Yeah. This is what I was.
That's how
so
I
when you posed that question, I was thinking, what do we need the most? What do we need the most?
I actually think you need Shearer from around 98.
Well, Ricky Dillon.
No, you need a centre back more than you need a striker. We got Rooney and Sturridge, who are both.
What about?
I'd take Lineker from 90. I personally think we need a proper out and out goal scorer. I don't think we've got one.
Oh, yeah. Well,
I think Sturridge and Rooney cover that off between them.
Yeah.
Rooney's proved that he doesn't do it in major tournaments, and Sturridge is unproven.
He doesn't do it in major tournaments. Not proved that he can do it in major tournaments. Well, that doesn't mean he's not.
And to be fair, Rooney did have a great tournament in 2004. It's a long time ago now. But
10 years.
I'd take Lineker or Shearer in their prime. Hands down.
Personally, I agree on the centre half thing. I was thinking maybe Rio Ferdinand from 2002 because he had a great tournament. But probably, I think, if you're talking about centre-halves, not from 60, I'd go for Bobby Moore from 1970.
And interesting, no one's mentioned Gazza, Brian Ross.
Gazza was one I was thinking of as well, especially with Ross Barkley.
Lallana's our Gazza.
Glenn Hoddle. Glenn Hoddle.
Chris Waddle.
Did Glenn Hoddle ever Terry do it at a tournament, though?
Chris Waddle did.
90. And on the left, Hoddle didn't go to 86. He wasn't that integral, though. Hoddle was always someone who never shone for England that much. Undoubtedly a brilliant player, but...
Yeah.
But, you know...
Paul Parker.
Martin Kelly from 2012. So, yeah, but a few others. FFDU helpfully tweeted us and said Peter Reid, because if we choose Peter Reid, at some point over the month, he might just catch Maradona, unlike those who quit. A joke back to 86. Good on him. And Tim Tantrum has said he'd take the whole of the Euro 96 squad. Yeah. Which...
David Batty.
Well, they'd enjoy Copacabana Beach, wouldn't they?
Stevie Mark. One thing I will point out is that you only had 22 players in 96. That had been one of the current squads that could
survive. Phil Neville play in 96?
Phil Neville did go to Euro 96. Yeah, sure.
I'd say that squad minus him.
You've got one player from this squad who can survive because there's only 22 at 96, 23 now. But anyway, we'll move on from that because you've got shitload of stuff.
Has anyone seen Cameroon's World Cup?
But you mentioned it to me.
It is amazing. I love it. It's different from any of the other strips. It's like a tribal Aztec lion pattern.
Who's it made by?
Puma. So they like to do little things different, don't they, Cameroon? Famously, they had the sleeveless shirt.
And they had the one that was shorts and shirt combined. It was like a onesie.
But also kits as well. I don't know if you saw, England, for the group games, we have to wear the white kit in all three games.
Yeah, they wanted to play in red against Uruguay.
But FIFA's silly rulings now, we have to
The whole reason we've got the all white kit is because FIFA think it'll look better when broadcasting
it. And I think it's the referee. The referee's going to be wearing red in the fixture for England-Uruguay. So therefore, we can't wear our red strip.
It clashes with the goalkeepers.
And that as well, Joe Hart's one.
Well, that is the reason, though, that a lot of the nations, so Spain for the first time wearing all red kit, because FIFA have said they want as many nations as possible to wear all one colour kit.
What's that? Is that autotone as well? No, what's that? Not monotone. What's...
Not sure.
One second. But Cameroon have to wear. They can't wear their red shorts with their green.
That Cameroon reminds
fancy.
Me of the Mexico strip from France 98.
It's good though. Yeah, I like that. It's like saying you'd get in a high street fashion.
You've got a few t-shirts.
Listeners, if you're now in this interview, it's now the opportunity to look up the shirt whilst we discuss it, as you can't fucking see it.
But it's pretty good. We'll put a picture up.
All right, as we are a predominantly. We are a male podcast, and I'd say the majority.
Predominantly,
and I'd say predominantly are.
Mind you, if you've
listeners.
Seen the pictures from my stag do, then I think we're starting
some
to
of
ask
our listeners
questions.
Are. Thoughts on Richard Scudamore's sexist emails?
What a prick!
Really?
What an idiot! What a
to do things?
Idiot.
You're going to get found out. You do silly things.
It's it's one thing when you are some moron having a bit of banter in your workplace about, especially when other people are involved. But to be in that position of power, when you're overseeing not just the men's game, but having a significant influence on the women's Premier League, just fucking stupid.
I don't know, mate. I don't know. I just think it's just. Like, it's almost like it's our primal instincts.
To be an idiot?
But to have banter and take the piss and say stupid things and, like, we all get ourselves in trouble. Like, and, you know, imagine if you were sat there. Yeah, but it wasn't even... I don't know what I've been fucking reading other stuff then, or not what he's written
I've
properly.
I've not actually read it.
For
my benefit and any of the listeners who haven't
what was the gist of it,
read what,
no,
what he's
it,
got
it,
in,
he was talking
sent
about,
in an email.
But, I suppose technically he was talking derogatorily, easy for me to say, about women in emails and stuff, a bit of banter. But it's the sort of stuff that I feel like we're going to be in a world where you can't have any sort of
Dan Silva supports UKIP.
No, is it? How am I a racist?
No, but they're all.
Dan, I know what you're saying.
Political correctness.
If you're in that sort of position, you can't get away with it. But imagine
having to think, having to fucking think about every single thing you type. I mean, if your natural instincts is a bit of a piss taker or a bit of a, I don't know, and you're thinking, oh shit, if I send that, at some point in my life, this might come back to haunt me.
Yeah, but he should have thought that in his position.
It's his job.
That's
right
in it. His job.
It's hard to say.
He is a high-profile enough person to know that if you say something bad and somebody decides they want to leak it, it would be newsworthy.
It's not like you're emailing one of us in the office.
It's not.
Mate, if they fucking got hold of some of my emails, I'd be in a court of law, let alone sacked from my
job. But you're not Richard. You know,
I just think if he'd have turned around and if he'd done something along the lines of the geezer from the NBA, like we said, who'd said, I don't want you hanging around with black people, or something like that, or if he said, all women are fucking dirty slags, or something like that, or and said something.
But see, this is where it is again, drawing line. Is sexism not as bad as racism?
You started to say that before I said one second thing.
No, I get your point. I'm not saying you're suggesting that.
No, at no point was it a question of racism. I know you're not saying that, but this is a question I've got from this, Dan.
If he'd been talking, it's like saying, he's not talking about all women. He's talking about particularly women he's claiming to have shagged or people in the office. But is that not like saying if there was one black person in his office and he's made one derogatory comment just about that one black person? It is the same sort of thing.
No, because you and I... We'll sit there and we'll be like, oh, I smashed her last night. We're a bit older than me.
I won't, because I've got a missus.
She's got a great set of tits or something like that. Like, you know, with, like, it's something. It's fucking. It's just something that we do, right? And I'm not saying it's right, but that's a very big difference from going, God, she's got nice tits, or I don't like that black guy in your face. That's not the same.
No, but it's the language that he used is the problem. I'm not saying that that's not the case.
I just think it's, you know, I am all for. I don't agree with equality. I don't agree with sexism and all that sort of thing. In a nice, sluggish way. But I think this hacking into someone's emails or getting hold of someone's emails that he sent between a mate with a bit of banter.
Yeah, going
I
looking for it.
Yeah, yeah. I just
that,
don't
that's the grey area with emails. Yeah. Is it? Whose possession is it? It's just like a letter. If you've got a hard copy of something, it is ultimately your possession to have somebody's email. Now, maybe it's not right to leak that. I personally
this is what I mean. I just think that if it gets to the point where you can't, you know, yes, he's a man in a position in a power. Yeah. He's got a lot of responsibility to someone else. If he'd actively, gone out and, you know, was recorded of saying these things like in a really derogatory way, the fact that someone's nicked his email, discovered it, published it, I just think it's a bit fucking out of order.
I think the crux of it is A, he's been stupid, and B, there are ways, because we have banter across the office where we talk about girls that are fit, or we'll talk about, obviously we're always talking about my girlfriend if she's listening. Nobody else is, honestly. I'm just going to dig a hole with my girlfriend who's not even listening.
But
the language that he used wasn't sensible. I personally wouldn't use that language, talking about thin, big-titted slags or whatever he said.
I don't think you said slags, but anyway. Speaking of languages, let's move on from this. But I quite like the fact that we have every now and again we have a serious conversation
about stuff.
I mean, not just all fucking load of bollocks. But speaking about languages, did you see Laurent Blanc, Marco Verratti, and Salvatore Sirigu pissing themselves laughing at Zlatan Ibrahimovic's acceptance speech for League One Player of the Year, which he attempted to do in French, and for all intents and purposes, it looked like he failed miserably.
Really?
Fair play to him. He speaks four languages.
Five languages. French is not one of them.
No.
But he attempted to do it in his acceptance speech, which is, like I said, brilliant for lads. But you could see he was obviously struggling, and they were just pissing themselves laughing. I mean, they will get Zlatan'd.
Yeah.
They will get kung fu kicked to the face later on.
They're getting that, mate.
But
it was
brilliant to see.
One of his teammates took a fucking really bad piss out of him.
It was brilliant.
But there was a similar situation last week. It was the United Player of the Year Awards, and David De Gea won both Players Player and Fans Player, unbelievably, because obviously there were so many strong contenders. But he got up there, and he can't speak very good English, and made a very quick speech like, still, yeah.
That's piss poor, David. Piss poor. You've been here 2 years now. Fucking sort it out.
He made a very quick speech in broken English, and then he said, and you've won another one. He's like, oh, shit, no.
I've got nothing left to say.
Mind you, has anyone heard Gareth Bale talking Spanish?
No, but I'm assuming it's fantastic.
He's attempted the odd word.
Fair enough, I mean...
Oh, that fucked me, though, sorry. And I've got obviously got loads of other some random shit that we'll wrap up in a minute. But the Spanish League, this getting a bit exciting, isn't it?
Yes.
No one wants to bloody win the fuck
No one wants to. I mean, that no is literally it. That is very perfectly
put. What a save by our old mate, Willie.
Oh, Willie, though. With that, I mean... The fact that it was terrible defending, and because I caught the last 20 minutes after the Brighton game, they switched it over in the sports bar, and obviously Atletico went 1-0 down, and it was terrible defending. Terrible defending slash a good finish from the striker, but then to bring it back to 1-1, and then the last second, Willie pulls out a worldie.
All right.
But it makes it fucking brilliant that it comes down to a showdown. Obviously, Real are now out of it. Yeah. It comes to a showdown. Atletico versus Barca at the Nou Camp. Atletico can take a point. Barca have to win.
I still think it's amazing. Atletico are in two massive games. They're playing Barca to win the league, and they're playing Madrid to win the Champions League.
It's going to be Dortmund again, isn't it?
Atletico.
It's going to be Dortmund again, isn't it? They're going to lose both. I think they're going to lose both.
I'm not sure about Barca at all. I think they're a loss away. Sorry, let me finish here.
Well, this is more important because Jim's back, and the reason he's back is he's just had to walk down 20 flights of stairs because of a fire truck.
Did you get that far? You didn't even get in.
You didn't get up there.
Oh, wow. Anyway, so moving back to football, Michael. I think Barcelona are a game away if they lose from maybe going into meltdown. Well, is Lionel Messi's head turned? Will he maybe be wearing a Man City shirt next season?
Will Man City be able to pay 164 million?
Will Messi be wearing a Man City shirt?
He's been linked.
Why not?
He's been linked with him in the papers.
If he's going to go anywhere.
If he's been linked with him in the papers, then he must be going.
There's only a few clubs who can afford him.
Manchester City have been investigated for financial fair play. They're not going to be able to pay 164 million on people. Financial fair play.
They'll just spend another 50 million on the fine. They don't give a fuck.
Can't they just give another sponsor?
Yeah, but they have a fine once, but then next season it stops being a fine. It starts being expulsion.
It's not fine.
They'll just pay a double fine. But they'll just keep paying fines, mate.
It won't be a fine. The whole thing with it is structured. If you break it once,
I believe it when I see it.
Oh, yes.
Fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, shame on you.
No, that's the other way around.
Ultimately, I can't see Messi moving to Manchester. Unless Rochdale come in with a bid for it.
Do you know who Arsenal should definitely be signing next year?
Please tell me.
Join in if you want.
Sammy the Sea Lion.
Oh, yeah, this is great.
Sammy
the
Sea Lion.
It was good.
Great
ultimate
little video.
Control.
Lucas Podolski went to the zoo. I mean, it's not even a joke, it's true. And they played a bit of head tennis with a sea lion.
I saw that, on soccer. Yeah,
that sea lion was different class.
Yeah.
Yeah, loved it.
Fantastic.
Another round, you know, we've had this season like fucking some spectacular halfway line goals, more than we've had for God knows how many seasons.
Well, we've had three of them, so
more than that.
If I had a pound.
It's more than that.
Rooney, Shelby, and Entelar.
No, and we've had one from around another league.
There was an African one.
No, that was the season before, though.
There was an Australian. Engelo was the Australian one.
Yeah. Well, there's another one, and we think we've hit the jackpot.
Go on.
We've actually got.
Is this the best one?
I think it's the best one.
Asmir Begovic for Stoke.
Asmir Begovic,
box.
Yeah. That's true. Quickest goal of the Premier League. Fabian Kwok.
Do you remember Bert Kwok?
No.
From, what was he in? He played Kato.
Oh, yeah.
Bert Kato.
Yeah.
And he was
in Harry Hill stuff.
Yeah, and he was in Harry Hill stuff.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So, Kwok in the Singapore League for Geyland International. He's a midfielder. The keeper got put on under a bit of pressure from a back pass. He's booted it out. Hasn't got a lot of distance on it, but I'd say that Kwok was probably about 5 yards inside the opposition half. So not his own half, but the opposition half. But as it's kicked to him, he's hit it full on the volley, straight back.
One touch,
full on the volley, straight away, back over the keeper's head into the top corner. Absolutely phenomenal.
Brilliant.
No touch.
What
no,
was his first name?
Fabian
Kwok.
Yeah. It was literally, look at him, mate. Yeah. It is what a strike. I mean, listen. For Rooney, Shelby, they've taken Englard, yeah. Or Englard didn't take a touch, but it was on the deck. But the hit, a volley straight back the way it came.
So yeah. I think Shelby's was top of the league for me.
Me too.
Before this. So we'll have a look at Fabian.
I personally preferred Englard. I thought it was a better goal, but that's just choice. But I will say, speaking of fantastic Asian players, Jason Park has announced he's retiring today.
Yeah, he gives a shit.
Age 33. No, just mentioning, because you get a lot of these retirements this time of season, and he was.
But that's pretty.
He did a great job.
We're thinking he's got a knee injury, so he's decided he's been on loan at PSV. But yeah, he won a lot with United.
He was an average player in a decent team.
I think average is unfair.
Yeah, he did some. I was a critic of him.
He
did some jobs in some of those games. He did fuck me.
Great squad player. Arsenal in the semi-final in 2009.
They always put him on against Arsenal, and he never stopped running.
No, he didn't.
And I tell you what, a few other things on him. He scored in 3 consecutive World Cups. Obviously, he's not going to this one, but things that not many players have done that.
Average player.
Jim's got Arte. But also, he was nominated for European Midfielder of the Year, and I think came second or third in 2005, the year before he joined United.
Is he?
Yes.
Where was he? Joined in 2000?
He was at PSV on loan. He joined in 2005, but the season before, PSV got to the semi-finals.
Did he not go to QPR?
He did go to QPR and was terrible there.
He was like a big marquee signing for them, wasn't he?
And he was terrible. Yeah.
But he got to the semi-finals with PSV and was nominated for European Midfielder of the Year. You can't say fairer than that. He wasn't a bad player.
Speaking about Asian players, I've got to say congratulations to Western Sydney Wanderers, who are in the quarterfinals of the ACL, the Asian Champions League, after beating some 3C Hiroshima. They were about 20 minutes ago. So good for the A-League.
Yeah. Good stuff.
Anyone hear about Ledley King's testimonial match on Monday night?
Jim Staples. He made a World War II joke.
Let's just carpet over that one quickly.
No.
Ledley King's testimonial match at White Hart Lane on Monday night.
Do you know, I watched the highlight.
Did you hear about the players that turned out?
I'm now gutted I didn't go.
Anthony Gardner played for England.
Yeah, he got one cup against Sweden in 2004.
And then he pulled out of a USA tour, and they brought in Zach Knight, and Zach Knight then plays.
Zach Knight's got 2 caps for England.
Francis Jeffers has got 100% goal record.
As does David Nugent and Danny Wallace.
But that, that's what we were talking about.
I like Ledley King.
Ledley King.
He scored in the Euros, didn't he, against Portugal?
Yes, he did.
It was a friendly.
Ledley King is a fucking absolute legend for more ways than one.
He's got a coach down there now.
Yeah, he's heavily involved in the youth sub and charity work. He is. They've now got "This is my club, my one club" written on the stands.
A girl we work with went on a date with him.
Who?
Melissa Cafferkey.
Fuck.
She didn't.
Apparently, he was really boring.
Yeah, she wasn't all.
Apparently, she was really boring.
Apparently, he was really.
I'm sorry.
But it's absolutely legend. But it was actually obviously testimonials go either way. The players that turned out was fantastic. Sheringham's got a classic, apparently. Curled it in from the far just outside the box into the far post.
Apparently, Signo turned up and played a bit of a
Anderson
screamer
played well,
as well.
I'm a bit gutted than Gunn now. But
apparently, the funniest thing about it was
Lewis Holtby.
Lewis Holtby, the referee,
Howard
Webb, Stephen Freund.
Yeah, well, with about 5 minutes to go, Webb just nicked the ball and started dribbling with the ball. Like, really got into sort of the spirit of it. Holtby's gone and hacked him down. Webb's sort of done a theatrical dive, then got up and pushed Holtby, who's then theatrically dived over as well. And it just
Speaking of Holtby, you know, you were talking last week about how you've seen him on the train twice. Somebody tweeted a picture of him. I can't remember where I saw it. It was either in the Mirror on Monday, or it was just, I saw it generally on Twitter, of him on the tube. He loves a bit of public transport.
He is one of the most sort of low profile.
Talking of public transport, a man who won't have to be using it. What the fuck is wrong with juries across the land?
That's a
Niall Ranger.
What is he?
He's got away with it. Weapon wielding Ranger.
Yeah.
No, but
when he smacked the bird in the face.
Now he's got away with the driving ban. Yeah. So,
you know what would have been a good thing?
Have you heard about this?
Talking of Parchy Sung, we go from Park to Ranger.
Well, speaking of driving bans, Nick Powell's got one. The on loan Wigan player from United. He's for drunk driving.
Really?
Not very good. Well, it was around crew, though, which is to be expensive going the roads there.
Speaking of the lowly, I missed this back in December. But Borat. was at a Grimsby game wearing a Grimsby shirt.
Well, well it wasn't Borat, it was Sacha Baron Cohen.
Sacha Baron Cohen. Sorry, yeah.
Sacha Baron Cohen. As Borat or as...
No, no, as Sacha Baron Cohen. But and then right. he was in the pub with the supporters after the game doing this. No one had a fucking clue why he was there.
He'd be a fucking laugh, wouldn't he?
But supposedly, it's because he's doing a new film based on...
football fans. An idiot
Grimsby fan. Yeah. Hooligan, basically, and he was here. He was in the local fish factory in the pub.
He's playing two roles. He's playing the idiot football fan and his brother, I think.
I'll tell you what he needs to do. He needs to get down to Jill's with Jim Staples and find out what really goes on.
Fuck me. No one should be put through
no
that.
Comment.
Naughty boy of the week. Very naughty boy of the week. Croatia defender Simunic, who is missing the World Cup because his 10-game.
He was naughty boy of a long time ago. But.
Yeah, but sorry, his ban has been upheld by FIFA for making a fascist salute in November. And basically, he got hold of the microphone and was doing making some fascist chants. Like,
where he was leading them in chants that we used during the 1930s, 40s. Obviously, fascism was very big in Europe then. Which makes it sound like
hip-hop
was very big in the 90s.
Basically, the chants were found to have associations with Croatia's former pro-Nazi Ustasi regime.
Yeah.
It was after their...
It was against Iceland when they qualified.
Very strange. Very strange.
Exactly, yeah.
Well, Zabaleta's going to be in trouble as well, because he was singing Status Quo during an interview last week.
Yeah, he was, actually. Apparently, it's his favourite song.
Status Quo was his favourite band.
It's his favourite song.
Zabaleta was offered for an interview for MCTV. It's on YouTube, and then he just starts singing Status Quo.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whatever you want. And he's like, sorry, Status Quo, my favourite.
I tell you what,
why is he in trouble?
Why the fuck, whenever City wins something, does Noah Gallagher end up on the fucking pitch as if he's part of the squad?
He went to the awards do as well.
Yeah.
And he was given the company's captain's armband.
Don't get me wrong, I like Oasis. I like the fact Johnny Marr from the Smiths was on the pitch because he's a true legend. But
I mean, he had trials for City, I think, Johnny Marr.
He did, and he got kicked out because he was wearing eyeliner.
Yeah.
That's fucking brilliant.
Yeah. Johnny Marr, lad.
Last bit of banter I do quite like, which I forgot to mention earlier, was Andy Carroll. Him and his girlfriend posted a picture on Instagram of the two of them in Dubai, and she put, there's no place I'd rather be. He's commented on it further down the line going, I know a place I'd rather be, #Brazil. Like, good lad. He's literally just put the beat like, all right, love, yeah, we're having a good time.
Like?
I'd much rather, she's not all that.
He's on standby, don't
he? He might. But I quite like that. I know where I'd rather be, you dozy.
He's a bit of a boy, isn't he?
Yeah. Fair play. Well, I think we mentioned this last week, but I don't think we read out in full, but we have got a new review. On iTunes.
Got a new review.
Oh my god.
Is it good or bad?
As per usual.
Was it your mom?
I don't care, Andy.
It wasn't my mum.
It's a review.
As per usual, it was 5 stars.
Was it?
With the title, Love the Show. It's by someone who calls themselves Teasdale, and I'm guessing their name is Luke Teasdale because they signed off with Luke.
Luke.
They said, really
it's
great.
It's always a giveaway when people sign off with the name Luke.
Yeah. You should assume that it gives a good clue.
I think, but who knows? He might be throwing us off the scent. It might be my mum. But really great show, guys. Love the discussions, and I think this is for me and you, Dad, that stretch across the football league and the variety of opinions that you guys have. Keep up the good work.
Oh, so thank you very much.
And
Luke.
Remember, if you review us on iTunes, you will get read out. It might take a couple of weeks, but we'll always read it out.
And I was telling you, mate, I got a tweet from The Godfather just before we came down from lunch. Simon Head, who did ask me if we were going to do a World Cup special of some sort, and he wants to get involved.
Yeah,
so,
I'm pretty sure everyone in the summer is going to be a World Cup special.
And he told us that we weren't allowed to send complaints.
Which
to
we
him.
Did stop doing, to be
we
fair.
We have, yeah.
We did stop doing.
Hang on. But so actually on that, are we going to be supporting a specific team other than England through the World Cup?
So I'm going to Ecuador, France.
I'll tell you what, the rest of us, I reckon we draw out a team at random. Jim can have Ecuador because he's going to Ecuador, France, and he's not going to support
France.
No, but
I don't want, like, I don't, if I pulled out a hat of France, I'd quite like to go, pick a random one.
Well, we'll have a think about it. We'll all decide on different teams. I'm happy to support somebody's shit.
Or we all pick one of the...
We're all supporting England, so we're all supporting some shit. Right?
Yeah, you're right.
But that's true. So out of the
top 5 or 6 least favourites, so
all right.
to speak.
All right, then. I'll knock up an Excel spreadsheet.
And whoever gets the furthest, when we get, I don't know, like a whole round ball from
It's got to be a fourth seed. It can't be a 1, 2, 3
seed. That's what I mean.
Well, the problem is they're seeded based on geography outside the top seed, so you couldn't really... Well, what we'll
stop
do.
Stop bringing fucking
geography
rules into it.
Geography.
Let's take the bottom.
Oh, a sea bomb at the
well,
end.
Well, we've got to have one a week. Let's take the bottom, say.
Ranked clubs, well, like the bottom
yeah,
ranked clubs.
There's what? There's five
we'll
of us
pick
here.
Rubbish teams, move yeah. on.
Five of us, just Tom and Jerome, we'll take the bottom seven, we'll work it out based on that.
Yeah.
Right.
But we are going to have to do a World Cup special, I think.
I think throughout the World Cup, we're going to have to do extra shows because things move on that quickly.
We've already got our World Cup special sorted. It's at a golf course in Kent on the 7th of June.
That's coming up, actually.
Oh, yeah.
I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah.
Well, there you
foot
go.
Golf.
I'm looking forward to that.
For golf.
Anyway, yeah. on that note, I think that's us for the week. So you know the normal score. We're on Twitter at footballpubcast, footballpubcastonline.wordpress.com. I'm on facebook.com/footballpubcast.
We've done an hour.
It's
show.
Been a fucking good show.
Yeah.
Enjoy it. Bye. Listen to it again.
If you're still awake.